men are that they might have joy. People, we are here to be joyful. And in order to know joy, we have to know hardship as well. They both come together. And it's okay to ask for help. It's a beautiful thing to ask for help.
Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing.
Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you're here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled Unpacking Mental Health and ADHD. For those of you who have left a positive review on Apple Podcasts, thank you so much for doing so. It really does help me understand what is resonating so that I can continue to create content that's helpful for your ADHD. In addition, it allows other people to get out there and find this podcast, specifically those who exercise faith in Jesus Christ and who have ADHD, to help them understand the context of their life through something, through a language that speaks really clearly to them. Today, we will be talking about mental health and ADHD. That might sound like a little bit of a generalized topic, but I'm hoping that by the end, you'll be able to understand why we talk about being mental health advocates when we're also ADHD advocates. I saw a funny reel the other day, and it was this guy pretending to be on like a Zoom call or something, and he just said, "I'm so glad that we have been decided to talk about mental health. And in these discussions of mental health, we really want to improve the mental health of our people. And because we know that mental health is so important, we need to know what mental health things we need to know." You know, he was just being very, very general without saying anything. So I am trying to do the opposite of that today. I'm trying to help you understand in real detail what's actually going on. So we're going to start out with co-occurring conditions. Sometimes these are called comorbid, and we've also heard them sometimes called Velcro conditions, where they may be present when ADHD is not being treated, but when it is being treated, all of a sudden these other symptoms that we have can be pulled off, or they are lessened, or they are helped as we treat ADHD. So what is mental health? Well, it does refer to the emotional, physiological, and social well-being of a person. This affects how we think, how we feel, the choices we make, and it also helps us understand more about like how we handle stressors, how we can relate to other people, how we make choices. It is something that's really important, whether you're really young, whether you're midlife or an adult or even older. Good mental health is at the base and the root of being able to cope with normal stresses of life. So when we talk about being below baseline with our mental health, it's no wonder that seemingly really easy or effortless tasks feel very effortful. And hence why it's really important that with ADHD, we also have a grasp on our overall mental health. Now, ADHD is a mental health disorder, right? Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. We can not like the name, but still see that it is a mental health disorder. In fact, it is the most treatable mental health disorder out there in terms of medication, coaching, and therapy, which has been proven time and time again. Other ones might be depression, anxiety disorders, excuse me, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and any of these, let alone multiple of these, can highly impact our ability to function, our ability to communicate, our relationships with ourselves, and in addition to relationships with other people. And it's really a really good idea that we look at the full picture of how ADHD and mental health work together so that we can really start to improve our overall well-being and understanding of our life. So I want to start with co-occurring conditions. ADHD often co-occurs with other mental health disorders, like I mentioned before, anxiety, depression, sometimes bipolar. Some of the overlaps will be really interesting to take a look at. And I know I've spoken about this in the past, but I was diagnosed with PTSD from being a young mom and a lot of struggles that I had there. And I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety and having panic attacks. And I was also diagnosed with ADHD. So what happened when I started to treat my ADHD is that I no longer had as much anxiety about things, because that was the underlying reason why I was having anxiety, is because my prefrontal cortex was not regulating my body or my thoughts or my choices. And so with so many thoughts, emotions, and choices constantly being bombarded at me, my anxiety levels increased. So what would happen if I knew I was going to, let's say, be at a family gathering where there may be perceived judgments from people, where I may have to talk and express myself, knowing full well that a lot of the time I get myself into situations where I feel extremely judged or I feel extremely vulnerable, and now I have words for those, right? But even the very thought of going to a particular family event may have increased my heart rate, decreased my ability to breathe, may have caused panic attacks to be induced, and overall just like a lot of anxiety surrounding that particular family event. Because I started to treat my ADHD, both with medication and with coaching and therapy, my prefrontal cortex was able to either regulate itself better with medication, or I was able to observe what was actually happening and then step in with systems and helps and tools for me to regulate myself. So I could separate the fact that it really wasn't the family gathering that was causing anxiety, but it was how I was approaching the family gathering. And that was starting to become muscle memory, is when I thought about getting together with big groups of people, specifically those that maybe I felt not seen by, that automatically my body would go into this reactive anxiety mode. And that is why treating ADHD really helped my anxiety decrease. Do I still have both? I think I do. There are some times when it just anxiety or panic just sets in without my permission. And do I feel like it's really gotten a lot better and more manageable since understanding more about my life through the context of ADHD? Absolutely, it has. So in a similar way, depression, bipolar, those can impact each other, right? I'm not even saying that necessarily ADHD is always the root cause for, let's say, depression. You really honestly could have both. It's not a cure-all that if you treat your ADHD, your depression is going to go away. But I can count on my hand more than one time that I've heard that story. When I very first started this podcast, I interviewed Courtney Smith. She is an incredible baker. Her handle on Instagram is Cake by Courtney. And she talked about like a 20-year battle that she had with depression and anxiety, and how just recently, within the last few years, she received an ADHD diagnosis, got on medication for ADHD, and her depression and massive anxiety symptoms weren't around anymore. And hers is not the only story that that's the case for. Specifically, women are often misdiagnosed with anxiety, and it really could be ADHD. So whether one goes away when you treat the other, or whether you need to treat both of them, it's important to see the full picture. I mentioned with you guys that during the winter months, I tend to experience seasonal affective disorder, and it really has been bad in the past. This year, I feel like we're doing a little bit better. I'm feeling a little bit more healthy and on top of things. But it really does come and go. And so that feels very separate from my ADHD, though, I know that they're linked. So I treat it as its own thing. And as I treat seasonal affective disorder, it also helps my ADHD. So that means that I am getting outside and walking. I am more conscious of the media that I'm taking into my mind. I am making sure that I'm eating well. I have a vitamin D light. I have really started to embrace like the cozy hibernation season and not try to fix it or feel like it should be something different, but like enjoy all of the senses of warm and cozy and comforting that the winter season can provide. And by doing that, I'm not as hard on myself when I'm not doing or accomplishing as much that my ADHD brain would go mad over. By doing that, I regulate my emotions more appropriately. I'm going outside, I'm getting some fresh air, I'm moving my body. And so it's helping all the good juices flow through my body. I'm also starting my day proactively instead of reactively. And all of these things help increase my positive mood and serve my overall mental well-being. So understanding the full view, the full idea here of what your mental health, where your mental health needs support is going to definitely be helpful. It might even look different if you're a mom like I am and you have kids in school during the summer months when your kids tend to be at home more versus the winter and fall months when they're at school more. Any changes, any shifts can also shift your mental health. And so just being aware that that's a very normal part of life and that there's not a skeleton key, one size fit all type of approach when you're dealing with mental health. The more important thing is just to be aware and to notice. Having a therapist or, a spouse or a partner or someone, a coach you can check in with every so often is really helpful with this, because sometimes when we get into an icky spot, it's hard for us to pull ourselves out of it. And so having someone else that can help reason with us and be compassionate with us to get us the help we need is a great idea. Okay, the next thing I'd like to talk about is emotional dysregulation. ADHD can contribute to difficulties in regulating emotions, leading to issues like impulsivity, irritability, and mood swings. I have a lot of different strategies for managing these challenges. All of you know that one of the best strategies I have is creating a pause so that I can be really mindful about what's actually happening internally and not impulsively jumping in. So the fatter we can make that pause, the more juicy we can make that pause where you just want to sit there, the more time we're going to give our brain and our emotion body to catch up to what's actually triggered us to have big emotions. This is like the greatest skill. When I first learned about the power of the pause, when I was learning about ADHD, it made so much more sense to me to not expect my brain to have a pause, but to almost forcefully have to create it. At that point, it felt like it was a lot by grit and willing myself to create that pause. And then over time, now what I can do is I can just notice where I need a pause, take a deep breath, and then be able to more realistically approach the situation that's making me have big emotions. This happens a lot in the morning with getting my kids off to school. And
It seems like an easy thing, but we know that it's not, to have to get your backpack ready, get yourself fed, do your hair, get your clothes on, plus your shoes and your socks. And sometimes, you know, jackets aren't clean. And so having to change jackets so that you're not going to school with a disgustingly dirty jacket, all of these things can be pre-planned for, but a lot of the time in our home, that's not really a system that we have in place quite yet. Maybe with middle school approaching and having a shorter amount of time to get ready in the mornings, we may start to pre-plan a little bit better here, or more intentional, maybe not better. But as a mom with four kids that I'm needing to navigate, and my husband is, you know, he does his job too with that. He does great. But it's still a lot for both of us to manage. And so creating a pause when all I want to do is nag and repeat myself 1,000 times for specifically my kids with ADHD to, make some progress on getting ready for school and out the door. Creating this pause allows me to think, how much time do we actually have? Is it okay if they procrastinate? Is it okay if they're kind of being silly? What do I actually want? Like Zach said last episode, like 5 steps ahead, where do I want this to lead me when they're going out the door? Do I need tears in their eyes, or do I want them to feel loved and supported? And it often looks like me not needing to hyperfixate on things getting done so quickly. And now a word from our sponsor. Have you ever felt trapped in ADHD's maze of life despite getting your support, despite getting a diagnosis? I totally get it, because in 2019, my burnout led to my ADHD diagnosis. And that diagnosis led me to a community, and it honestly felt like a divine gift. Hiring an ADHD coach transformed everything for me. Now as a certified ADHD coach myself, I am so thrilled to introduce Mindful to you. Whether you're starting or seasoned on your ADHD journey, Mindful is your coaching home. Join us for a transformative month or more embracing growth without shame or guilt. At Mindful, we explore truths, emotions, deep questions, fostering genuine growth. Find peace and community among fellow ADHD individuals. We have 2 calls a week and an education call monthly. All the calls are recorded and nothing is actually mandatory. You'll also receive text reminders. I set up this platform with ADHD and you in mind. Your journey begins at CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful. Mindful, where your self-discovery takes flight. We, for some reason, school starts at like 8:45. My girls usually like to be out the door by 8:15. And so we have this good cushion of time that for some reason we reach for so intensely that it creates unnecessary stress. And so when I'm trying to use the point system, right, the pause out of my head into my body, nurturing myself, and then turning to my kids in love, when I'm using that, it's really helping me regulate my body and grasp that this really isn't that big of a deal. This really isn't worth all the energy that my impulsive brain wants to put into it, because I want things just so, and they might be on a different timetable, on a different pace, and that's okay. It's not always perfect by any means. I've also started leaning into faith a little bit more with this one. And sometimes I'll even say it out loud, like, Heavenly Father, please help me with this one. And just by talking with God in the moment, it really pauses me from going into action impulsively. And it may come across kind of trite, but it honestly is coming from my soul. It's coming from a very deep and connected place to heaven that reminds me that I don't have to do this alone, and that I also have somebody who gets it, someone who's there with me, who is a parent as I see God, and has to deal with us all the time. And as I offer that prayer a lot of the time aloud, because if I'm talking to God, then that means I'm not yelling at my kid usually, and I'm not using his name in vain to, you know, as an ex-
expletive. I'm truly just pausing and co-regulating with a being that's higher than me, a being that is calm and collected and has perspective. And I allow my body to co-regulate with God. And it's really helpful. And my kids watch me do that. And, you know, they're going to think what they're going to think someday in the future. But I like to think that maybe they see me calling upon my God to help me with something because they are that important to me and that I really feel like Heavenly Father and Christ can actually help me in those moments. I really do. So this is one of those times where I feel like if people understood ADHD more and learned that worshiping and including our Savior, including the power of prayer into their life in a way that maybe looks like exasperation or even cursing, you know, that's not the only way that we can include him. I think that God would much rather be called upon right before we do something. I think that he's just happy when we call upon him no matter what. And I think that it would feel good for us to learn how to call upon God before we do something we regret, not only just after we do something we regret. So give that one a try. All right, now with some more mental health highlights here, self-esteem and self-worth. How is that tied to ADHD and our mental health, our positive mental health? ADHDers may struggle with self-esteem and feelings of inadequacy due to the difficulties in our life. We struggle with organization. We often struggle with time management, social interactions. It makes sense that our self-esteem may take a hit. And I've talked to you about how, because I surround myself with so many people with ADHD or with people who are compassionate toward people with ADHD, that when I am surrounded by neurotypicals or people that know nothing about this, number one, I'm always shocked that they're still in this old world perception of how everyone should show up by societal, just how society has always shown up. It just blows my mind that some people are still living by that old mentality because of how much work I've done on myself and how much joy I've been able to find on this side of the coin. But number two, my self-esteem takes a blow. So first off, it's like, gasp, how are you still thinking that way? And gasp, you must be judging me really harshly. And so when I'm around people that don't understand that there can be more than one way or more than one good way to live your life with high expectations of yourself, it feels really weird. It feels very lonely. Something that is really helpful for me is the differentiation between self-esteem and self-worth. If I'm having a hit on my self-esteem, I can deal with that. That's when we surf our emotions. That's when we allow that discomfort and those uncomfortable emotions to unfold in our body and we see them. We say, you've been hurt. And that's okay that you've been hurt. So this makes sense that you've been hurt. And we let that hurt well up in us, not in rumination form, but we get really clear on the instance or the thought, the singular thought that is causing the most pain. And we allow that to unfold and be in our body. And by so doing, our self-esteem doesn't continue to take a hit over and over and over again as we're trying to ignore that we're hurt. When we can process through the emotions, then we can start to feel much more supported and much more human. On the other hand, self-worth to me, I feel like comes from my existence as a human on this planet. And for me, I glean my self-worth in knowing that I am a child of a divine creator, a child of God. And if God is truly all-loving and all-powerful and all-knowing and all-seeing,
and is truly what God says they are, I being offspring of God means the world. And no matter what I do, I can't ever separate myself from the fact that I have heavenly parents who have created me and that their divinity lives and breathes in my existence. And when I was young and I was in Young Women's and I repeated, I am a daughter of Heavenly Father who loves me and I love him. I think it was something like that. It's changed now, so I haven't heard it aloud for a while. It really struck a chord, and it's something that brings me great peace still to know that my creator is proud of their creation, which is me. And so intertwining my faith in terms of mental health with that foundational principle that we are children of God has been really, really helpful. And understanding that I'm going to take a hit on my self-esteem every so often, I'm going to learn how to manage that, and I can't avoid it, that's also really helpful. So my divine potential and my ability to surf and to process difficult emotions when my self-esteem is feeling pretty low. And I've been feeling discouraged lately. I have. I've definitely been going through some discouragement. But it's not like the bottom has fallen out from under me. And that's because of who I know I was meant to be. And it's been a rock to me. So I can understand when people go through faith challenges or crises or what it might be, to have that bottom fall out from under them must be really, really difficult and really painful. And I have so much compassion and love for all of my siblings in Christ that are going through that part of their mental health journey of trying to learn what it is that they now believe and having to relearn in a different context what it is that they are holding on to or letting go of. That is a big deal. So as you're going through that, having a place of refuge where you feel safe, if that's another person or a place or a memory, something that you can hold on to in the midst of all that. And of course, I'm going to say to hold on to the glimmer of hope. And if you don't even have hope, well, maybe there's a seed that may produce hope someday, and holding on to that, like Alma 32 says, that has brought me a great deal of peace, even when I've been struggling with testimony of God or self-esteem. And I'm really happy to say that I feel like I'm on another side of that journey now, not out of pride, but a little bit out of relief. And I kind of knock on wood saying that, because who's ever really done? We're never really done. Okay. So another important thing to think about in our mental health, taking care of mental health, are the treatment approaches that we have. Treatment could be medication, therapy, lifestyle changes, coaching, and having a comprehensive and holistic, not meaning not medical, holistic meaning full approach, a WHOLE, like whole approach to that is really helpful. We have stewardship over our bodies. Our bodies are a gift from God. And if that means that we need to seek professional help to understand our bodies, then let's do that. In addition to prayer and faith, and all of those things can work together for our good. Seeking help is a sign of strength. And it is an act of your agency, of your choice that is God-given as you're seeking for your well-being. Remember that men are that they might have joy. People, we are here to be joyful. And in order to know joy, we have to know hardship as well. They both come together. And it's okay to ask for help. It's a beautiful thing to ask for help. I just had a neighbor ask me for help this morning
last minute. And I was so thankful that I could go sit and be with them in their time of need. When we ask for help, our relationships change and shift. And it is a definite ask for humility. And I feel like as a whole in the world, we become closer to each other. And that can improve mental health worldwide, you know, a little bit at a time, like drops in the bucket there, allowing other people to be in your process. So in addition to treatment options, also coping mechanisms can be really helpful. And we talk a lot about that with the STEER map that I use in Mindful, that was developed by Dr. Sasha Hines. It stands for the situation. We have lots of thoughts, T, thought line, and the thoughts then create a variety of emotions, which is E. And from those emotions, we act. So those are actions, and our actions are what leads us ultimately to our results, which is R. And that helpful tool for me, that coping for me, is the ability, it helps me stay in the pause and evaluate and observe what's actually happening inside of my body, even in a variety of different situations. Just knowing that my thoughts are creating emotions and that we act because of emotion, then my emotions aren't driving me, but they are a piece of the puzzle. Also understanding trauma responses and nervous system responses in this wheel has been really helpful. That sometimes I can't figure out what thought has caused me to have the emotions that I'm having. And so what do I do then? Then I turn to my body with compassion and I say, wow, you're really feeling some big things right now. And we might not understand why we're having these emotions, but with some time and space, we're going to figure it out. But that's not important. What's important is that I remind my body that I'm safe and that even though I'm having a lot of discomfort, that it's going to be okay. Of course, most of the time on Earth, when we're having big emotions, we actually are safe. And in those instances where we're not, hopefully our fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, minus the freeze and fawn. I mean, unless that's the way that you need to stay safe, but hopefully something's going to kick in for us to take care of ourselves. What other coping? I love to think about filling the bucket ahead of time. And so for me, that is, as I've already mentioned, it's exercise, it's supplementation, it is reading scripture, it is attending church and having a church community. It is communion with God. It is communion with my husband. All of these things fill my bucket so that when triggers do come or when stress comes, I'm not gleaning from fumes. A lot of women and mothers who have not entered the personal development world feel like they have to be martyrs for their children. And my question is always, how is that working out? If you are pulling from an empty bucket, if you are pulling from fumes, I don't know how anyone could be the best version of themselves to show up for their kids. And I know that that also offers a little bit of privilege here. And what I mean by that is there are circumstances around the world that are only focused on survival. And probably if you're listening to this podcast, to a degree, you are not one of those people. So what is it that we do have where we can give ourselves a break? Maybe that's just taking 5 minutes to be with yourself, taking 5 minutes to ask your body what it needs, pausing in a moment and offering a prayer of gratitude to check in with your body, to connect you with heaven, reading a book that you've been interested in, or going out to lunch or going for a walk with a friend,
if you don't have a friend, making a new friend. All of these things are really important to fill our bucket so that in those times of stress and hardship, we are somewhat prepared. And then, of course, applying our tools in the moment that we work on here on this podcast, as well as in coaching, is also really helpful. I always feel better when I serve, and serving is kind of hard for me these days just because I have kids, but I also have a 2-year-old, and yet I'm thankful for the opportunities that arise that I'm willing to say yes to, because I have to say no to other things. Let me be a little bit more specific. My kids are in a play right now, and in order to help out with the play and get some hours in volunteering, because they do such a great job, they ask for parent volunteers. And that means that if I'm volunteering, I have to bring my 2-year-old with me. A lot of parents can do that without feeling intensely depleted. I cannot. And I know that about myself. And so I'm very choosy and particular as to what I say yes to, knowing that I'm going to have to juggle motherhood and the volunteer opportunity. And so because I said no to some other things, I was able to help my neighbor today when they needed help, because I was able to say no to other volunteer opportunities at the school. I can say yes to a few of the volunteer opportunities within the next upcoming weeks because I have capacity. But if I would have burnt myself out in the first half of the play, I wouldn't be able to show up in the second half of the play. So getting to know yourself, understanding that you know your body best, there's no need to be a martyr. There's no need to say yes to everything and be a people pleaser. Because when your bucket is filled, that's when you're going to be able to live the most fulfilled life for you and for other people. Jesus, the way that I see him serving and giving and loving, is that he laid down his life and he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane so that we didn't have to suffer so intensely. And I wonder if some of the suffering that we're putting ourselves through in the name of service and being a mom and doing all these things is not exactly what Christ intended. I wonder if we are to come to know how to operate with our bodies to our highest ability and not just how to run our bodies ragged, and then not be able to be anything for anyone, or completely burning out and then having to take like a 5-year hiatus. I wonder about that sometimes, the way that we understand that. I personally have felt the power of heaven sustaining me so many times in my life. I have felt that specifically in motherhood, I have been given more strength than I probably thought that I had. In coaching, the same way, I feel like I have been helped by something bigger than me in my coaching opportunities, because the work that I'm doing is that important, and you are all that important. I'm not saying that I receive revelation for you. I'm saying that I have felt stronger outside of what made sense with how I could show up when I am honoring God and I'm honoring the co-creation that we are making together in order to help people, particularly with ADHD. I think I just have maybe 2 more. Support networks. We've talked a bit about this, but friends, family, support groups that are online, mental health professionals, other individuals with ADHD, heaven knows that's my favorite, people that just get me. Asking for support, finding support, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask or help with that. Mindful is just a small group of these ADHDers, just like you all listening. And yet when I see the names pop up on the screen and I see the collaboration and the coaching that happens and the support in the chat, even with this small, beautiful group of people, it feels safe and I feel camaraderie, and it goes a really, really long way. Even for me as the coach, which is great. You deserve support. And if you're in your wards, in your branches, in your ministering and your compassionate service opportunities, we are all a spiritual family. And part of getting to know each other is being honest with each other. And, you know, I've always encouraged you here to speak up and be honest. Today, one of my mentors said, I allowed myself to do it weird, to talk about my ADHD weird until it wasn't weird anymore. I let myself be awkward in the conversations until it wasn't awkward anymore. And that permission, I would have to extend to you from her as well, that, this is how we get things done. This is how we do life. All right. Last thing is advocacy and awareness. You're listening to this podcast. Take care of your mental health by listening to great mental health podcasts. The more we understand about our bodies, if we're not pushing it too hard, right? The more compassion we're going to have for the realistic nature of this disorder. Fill your mind and your heart and your body with messages of hope, of light. It's not that I want to turn my mind to the hard things that are in earth. Someone pointed out to me, however, that back in the day, not even that long ago, I mean, let's say 40 years ago, you had to try, I mean, we had TV, but you had to try a lot harder to know all the terrible things that were happening all over the world. And they said, I wonder if we were even made or meant to consume as much as we consume and have to navigate all the emotions and tears and fears and heartache that this world could offer us. I wonder if we were supposed to be able to do that as a human. Like, if we were supposed to even have that capacity. And so while we don't want to turn a blind eye to injustice, having a limit and setting a boundary as to where it feels profitable for the world, for you to know about what's going on. Maybe this is being a little bit hard to understand. If you are to help people, if you're to help in your family, if you're to help your neighbor, if you're to help your community, you know, civic duties, etc., can you do that from a place of depression and sorrow? And is that the fuel that's going to allow you to do the best job? So what's the balance? How much advocacy do you need to do for yourself? And awareness do you need to have for yourself with an ADHD brain that is dysregulated so that you can make a positive impact on this world? Understanding faith, once again, really helps me with this. Not so that I get like a get out of jail card for free or whatever, but that I know that co-creating with God is going to always be more powerful and have a higher impact. So while I am in motion, being fueled by energizing fuel or good fuel, working with God, the impact will still happen versus having to be this martyr and having to mourn without ceasing to mourn and just to be into this dark place for extended long periods of time. That's not going to be helpful for the world long term. I definitely believe in mourning with those that mourn and feeling that. And I believe, how can I be the most helpful to this world? So advocate for yourself, advocate for your brain, be aware of what your needs are. Mental health is real, and ADHD and mental health go together hand in hand. When we bring faith into it, it really can provide depth and hope an eternal perspective. And that is really helpful for me too. I don't know if I'm going to have ADHD after I die and, you know, I'm living with God again. I don't know how this works. Part of me wonders if it's just a different way of having a brain, a different way of thinking that we just haven't quite figured out yet. And the more we start to understand it, the more we unlock what that actually could mean, how this brain could actually be used in beautiful ways. So there's part of me that could see that happening because God is really good at taking our hard things and then making them good, kind of like Ether 12 teaches us. And also, if it is a disability and it's not something that I have after this life, part of me would be disappointed because I've spent so much time. But you are creating greater awareness and advocacy for knowing how to relate to your body, how to relate to your mind, how to relate to your soul. And those skills will help you understand yourself even after this life. So I am really proud of you. Mental health matters. Hopefully today we didn't just talk about mental health over and over again without saying anything at all. We have talked about co-occurring conditions, emotional dysregulation, self-esteem and self-worth, treatment approaches, coping mechanisms, support networks, advocacy and awareness. And all of these things are going to help improve your mental health as you understand them more. Just like a muscle that needs to be exercised, your mental health is something that needs to not be on the back burner. It needs to be right there with your heart health and your spiritual health and your cardiovascular health. Is that your heart health too? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. And I'm on the spot. Maybe if I created a pause and thought about it, I'd actually know. But it is really, really important. And I hope that you feel encouraged today. And just a reminder how much I love you. And I'm always cheering you on.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.